and Tobago and the Middle East. Washington, D.C.'s oldest and largest film festival has something for everyone. For more information, go to filmfestdc.org. WPFW at 89.3 FM and on the WPFW app is your station for jazz and justice.
Do you have a car that you're not using anymore? Help your community radio station by donating your used vehicle to WPFW, where it will be sold at auction and the proceeds will help keep your favorite jazz and justice station alive and running. The benefit? You get a tax write-off while supporting quality programming.
That's what I'm talking about.
For more information, just call 1-866-WPFW-CAR. That's 1-866-WPFW-CAR.
Greetings, I'm Askia Muhammad, and you're tuned to member-supported WPFW Washington.
And welcome to WPFW 89.3 FM, your jazz and justice radio station for 40 plus years. Good morning, and you're listening to Community Watch and Comment, the Wednesday edition. I'm your host, David Whetstone. In studio with us this morning is Sarah Browning. Ms. Browning is the co-founder and executive director of Split This Rock, a very, very active nonprofit organization supporting the cause of poetry, expression, human freedom, justice, and all that good stuff. Good morning. Thank you for being with us.
Good morning, David. It's terrific to be here.
And I'm so thankful that you're here because I have had the pleasure of attending the Split This Rock Festival for many, many years since I've come to D.C. As our listeners know, April's Poetry Appreciation Month, and we could not do that in this listening area without Split This Rock. And I really give you thanks for that. If you allow me a moment, I'm going to just do something. Do you hear this hammer ring? I'm going to split this rock and split it wide. And when I split this rock, stand by my side. One of D.C.'s poet laureates, Langston Hughes, from his poem Big Buddy. And I understand that's the inspiration for your organization and for many of the things that you do. So, Ms. Browning, if you could, why don't you tell us about the origins of Split This Rock and how everything got started?
It's my pleasure to do so. 15 years ago, just over 15 years ago, I moved to Washington, D.C., and it happened to coincide with an earlier idiot president, as one of my poet colleagues would say, George W. Bush, who was trying to convince us it would be a good idea to invade Iraq. And really, that was all about greed and taking that country's oil. And it was an immoral and illegal act. And we've seen the dire consequences. There's no consolation in having been right in opposing that invasion. Millions and millions of us around the world opposed that invasion. And the poets rose up, and we were organized. We were called to do so by a man named Sam Hamill, who received an invitation to the White House just at the moment that George Bush announced the Shock and Awe campaign. Many of our listeners will remember that moment that George Bush announced that campaign against Baghdad. And the invitation was from Laura Bush's office, that softer side of the White House, to celebrate the American voice in poetry. And it was meant to be a symposium on the poetry of Langston Hughes himself, Walt Whitman, and Emily Dickinson, and it was scheduled for February 12th, 2003, which was just a month before the U.S. eventually invaded Iraq. And Sam, who was himself a pacifist, a Buddhist, a former Marine, a cantankerous poet, editor, translator in the Pacific Northwest, his stomach churned at the notion of going to the White House. And he sat with that for about 24 hours and decided, no, he would not go, and sent an email to about 30 of his poet friends and said, let's not do this. I'm not going to do this. But if you send me your poems for peace that cry out for peace, I'll get them together and give them to someone who will go and deliver them to Laura Bush, and let's make that day a day of poems against the war, and organize readings everywhere. And so everyone did. They all sent him poems. In fact, it crashed the server in his small town in Washington State, and because he received so many, about 1,500 within 36 hours, and everyone everywhere set up readings. And I looked around for a reading. I had just arrived here in D.C. I couldn't find a reading here in Washington, D.C., because, of course, everyone was writing here in D.C. We had a long tradition, a great, rich tradition, mostly of African-American poets, of course, activists. Incredible tradition here in the city. But at that moment, there were folks doing things, but not so well organized. And folks will say this. It's not news. And so nobody had organized a reading, and I didn't know anybody. I had just arrived. I didn't know poets.
Poets disorganized?
I know, shocking. And so with a week to go before that date, I called up All Souls Unitarian Church, which I had found, and I knew that it needed to be in a multiracial neighborhood. I wanted everyone to feel welcome. And they said yes. The minister there, his partner's a poet, and with a week to go, I put out the word the best that I could, and we had that reading on a cold night. I was scared that no one would come, but about 175 people came, and it was the blueprint for what Split This Rock has become: multiracial, all styles of poetry on that stage. It was an open mic. 60 people signed up to read. Of course, we didn't have time for everyone, so we immediately had a movement because we had 30 pissed off poets who didn't get a chance to read. And it was righteously angry and glorifyingly powerful, and brought in voices from the past. Someone brought a recording of Allen Ginsberg from the previous Gulf War. Iraqi women's poems in translations were read, rhyming couplets about Condoleezza Rice. An elderly African American poet did. All kinds of poetry were there on the stage, and the response was just tremendous, both from poets and from audiences. And that told me right there in that moment how needed poets' voices were. And that has always been true in our movements for social justice, that we need the visionary prophetic language of poetry to take back language from the propagandists. And every day we need it to take it back from those who would sell to us, who would use our language to just deaden us and make us believe that only the status quo is possible.
Listeners, let me remind you, you're listening to Community Watch and Comment, the Wednesday edition. The voice you just heard is that of Sarah Browning. Miss Browning is the co-founder and executive director of Split This Rock. She's an associate fellow at the Institute for Policy Studies and a practicing poet herself. Her latest work is Killing Summer, from Sibling Rivalry Press. Congratulations. And congratulations for the 10th year of the Split This Rock Poetry Festival, of which I will acknowledge that WPFW is an official sponsor. You were talking about the origins of Split This Rock as an organization, and you mentioned Sam Hemmill. And Sam Hemmill was just extraordinary as a poet, translator, activist. Just to recap the history you just gave us, was invited to the White House at the start of the Gulf War. Didn't think participation in those events would be proper, organized poets far and wide, and made, in many respects, gave you inspiration to make D.C. an important nexus for poets. Some people who know Sam Hemmill know that he's the founder of Copper Canyon Press, a very important poetry press. And unfortunately, as far as I understand from you, he's transitioned. He passed away just a few days ago.
So it's heartbreakingly sad. His timing is exquisite. 15 years after the founding of Poets Against the War, 10 years after the founding of Split This Rock, Sam died on Saturday. And so we're paying tribute to him.
Yes, indeed.
At this festival, which starts tomorrow. 3 days of readings and workshops and panels. And in fact, we have a tribute.
And 700
session.
Poets descending. 700 poets.
700 poet activists from all over the country. A few from other parts of the world, I believe, will be joining us here in the streets of Washington, D.C. And we'll be remembering Sam and reading his words and other poets who we've lost, Claribel Alegría, a number of others. Ursula K. Le Guin, many folks don't know that she was also a poet, as well as a visionary writer of science fiction that was outside the mold of lots of science fiction, that imagined worlds that put women's liberation and she got rid of gender and all of these kind of binary categories that we put ourselves into. And she did that in her poetry as well.
And Dolores Kendrick.
Dolores Kendrick, of course, D.C.'s poet laureate, longtime poet laureate, died. So what we do is we pay tribute to poets who have passed since the last festival. And actually, our festivals are only every 2 years. So this will be our sixth, but it is our 10th anniversary as an organization.
Yeah, thank you. Mostly, you offer both panels and workshops so poets can hone and amplify their craft. But there are a number of free readings each and every night, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Two on Saturday.
A doubleheader, one in the afternoon, right?
That's right, and one in the evening.
Okay, and we'll tell people about the guest. I guess I want to highlight some elders, some wonderful crones that are going to be with us, Sharon Oles, Sonia Sanchez, and I'm having a block on the third person.
Ellen Bass.
Ellen Bass, how could I forget, who's a very important activist and figure given the violence that women face and her lifelong struggle and work against that.
That's right. Not everyone knows that story. Ellen, just quickly, she was a prominent poet in the 80s, and then was leading community writing workshops for women, and she heard over and over again in women's writing stories of childhood sexual abuse. And she kind of put her own writing career on hold to bring out those stories, and published anthologies of writings by women on childhood sexual abuse, but also books about healing from trauma of childhood sexual abuse. And some of those books have been translated into 12, 13 languages and sold over 1 million copies, and went on all the television shows and daytime talk shows in those years, in those early years of breaking the silence around childhood sexual abuse, and is only now just kind of returning to her, in her 70s, returning to her own poetry. And it's kind of an incredible story.
And let me take this opportunity to remind listeners that these free poetry readings occur at 7 o'clock at the National Housing Center, which is at 1201 15th Street Northwest. That's located right downtown, if I'm not mistaken, right off of Thomas Circle.
It's at a funky little corner at 15th and M and Massachusetts Avenue.
So each night, Thursday night, Camille Dungy, Sharon Oles, Javier Zamora. Friday night, Elizabeth Acevedo, Sherwin Bitsui, Kwame Dawes, and Solmaz Sharif. Then on Saturday, also at 4:15 and at 7:30, there are events. And let me just highlight the 7:30 event, in that it has Ilya Kaminsky, Sonia Sanchez, and Paul Tron. Peppered in the speaking are award winners of a very special award that Split This Rock presents. Why don't you tell us about it and who inspired that award as well?
On off years from our festival, is that what you mean?
The festival.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yes. Sonia Sanchez, Langston Hughes.
Absolutely. So every year we give a poetry. We hold a poetry contest, and we've been giving it since the very first year, and it is also partly a fundraiser for Split This Rock. There's an entry fee, and we used to call it the Split This Rock Poetry Contest, and last year we renamed it the Sonia Sanchez Langston Hughes Poetry Contest, in honor, of course, of Sonia Sanchez and Langston Hughes. But Sonia Sanchez is an incredibly important figure in American letters, but also to Split This Rock. She is 83 years old. She opened the very first festival standing on a table in Busboys and Poets, the very first one at 14th and V, which was the only one at the time. And she is closing out this festival, as you said, David, on the Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. reading. We published this year, in conjunction with Poetry Magazine, which is the oldest continuously publishing journal of monthly of verse in the English speaking language. So it is the most prominent
poetry
literary
magazine.
Journal
yes.
in the world. Mm-hmm. A special portfolio of these poets. And it is Sonia Sanchez's first appearance in that magazine. I was astonished to learn this and deeply moved. I'm actually choking up as I say that, to have played a part in bringing her into those pages. I can't quite believe it. She wrote a poem at the dedication of the new interpretive center at the birthplace of Harriet Tubman on the Eastern Shore. And she gave us that poem. It's a series of haiku and tankas, which is another short form, for that dedication. And that is the poem that appears in that issue of Poetry Magazine, which is now online for free. And anyone can go to poetryfoundation.org and click on the April issue to read that poem. And I don't know if she'll read it on Saturday night. It's up to her what she reads. But she'll be closing out that reading on Saturday night. I'm sorry, I forgot what our thread was.
Well, You could certainly read Miss Sanchez's poem if you'd like.
To do that.
And then that will allow us to give some entree to recognizing the other poets as well.
Oh, the contest.
Yes.
That was the contest. So the contest winners of the last 2 years will read their winning poems. On Thursday night, this year's winner will read his poem. His name is Jonathan Mendoza. And on Saturday night, the 2017 winner will read his poem. His name is Kino Evil. It happens this year that both the winners are young men. In the past, they've both been young women.
Well,
who knows?
Well, while you're about to read Ms. Sanchez's poem, the fact that she's involved and these poets are involved reminds me that Split This Rock is, I'm not just saying this, it's multi-generational. You have people from their 20s into their 80s participating. And if people attend these events, they often see people from all sorts of backgrounds, all sorts of demographics.
It is truly representative. It's the most representative literary space I have ever been in. And actually, teenagers from the DC Youth Slam Team open every reading. So we actually have people from their teens to their 80s.
And I understand that Split This Rock has been very, very much involved with teen poets.
In fact,
the Slam Team and you folks are now more formally associated with
The DC Youth Slam Team had a venerable history for many years, but it came
to... How long have they been in existence, do you know?
At least 20 years. Yeah. But it came to Split This Rock in 2010. We think. We can't remember. It might be 2011, but has been at Split This Rock since then and has grown to now one of the great pillars of Split This Rock is our youth program. We also have high school poetry clubs and two big youth festivals and youth open mics and all kinds of youth programming. So, Haiku and Tanka for Harriet Tubman by Sonia Sanchez. It's in many parts that are numbered, but I won't read the numbers. Picture a woman riding thunder on the legs of slavery. Picture her kissing our spines, saying no to the eyes of slavery. Picture her rotating the earth into a shape of lives becoming. Picture her leaning into the eyes of our birth clouds. Picture this woman saying no to the constant yes of slavery. Picture a woman jumping rivers, her legs inhaling moons. Picture her ripe with seasons of legs running. Picture her tasting the secret corners of woods. Picture her saying, "You have within you the strength, the patience, and the passion to reach for the stars, to change the world." Imagine her words, "Every great dream begins with a dreamer." Imagine her saying, "I freed 1,000 slaves, could have freed 1,000 more if they only knew they were slaves." Imagine her humming, "How many days we got before we taste freedom." That's the first half. And I'm just going to recommend that everybody go on along and read the second half.
It's a wonderful poem. People think of Langston Hughes and Walt Whitman as far as recognizing poetry being in the nation's capital, but there's more to it than that. There's more history. Some people know, not my favorite poet, but I'll go ahead and say Ezra Pound spent some time in St. Elizabeth's.
He did indeed.
Other people know that the Dunbars, Paul Lawrence Dunbar and his wife, were I'm trying to remember the Irving Street is where they lived at one time, and if I'm not mistaken,
LaDroit Park.
Yeah. So, can you give us a sense of DC's rich legacy of history of poets?
Oh, absolutely. Of course, the Harlem Renaissance began in Washington, D.C. Langston Hughes was working as a busboy. Mm-hmm. This is the origins of the name Busboys and Poets. Yeah. When he was, quote, discovered as a poet, he couldn't go to the lecture of a prominent poet and critic at the time because the hotel where he was working as a busboy was segregated. the poet was named Vachel Lindsay, so he slipped some poems of his under the napkin. And Lindsay was so impressed that he called the press. And the next day there was a picture of Langston Hughes in his busboy outfit with holding a tray in the paper and said, "Negro poet discovered working as busboy." Of course, wow. Discovery, that's like, you know, America being discovered by Columbus, because Langston Hughes was already publishing in the NAACP newspaper, and his first book was about to be published. But there you have it. That's America. And Georgia Douglas Johnson and others, you know, had a lively literary life. And Johnson, she had a salon for many years, decades in her home that cultivated, supported other poets. Throughout that, you know, the rich life of the U Street area. And then, you know, you move ahead toward the 70s and 80s. Essex Hemphill, for example, was really the most important black gay poet of his generation. Put out the first anthology of black gay men. That community was devastated by the AIDS crisis. We lost Essex and numerous others. But he did the most, you know, that incredibly important work of anthologizing those poets. Small presses, avant-garde presses, and Beltway Poetry Quarterly, you can go and read this because Kim Roberts has done, you know, super incredible work of getting people to write short essays, documenting, and some longer essays documenting this history and, with photographs, and linking to it. And she's also got this great project called DC Writers Homes with Dan Vera, where they go around, they've gone around the city and taken pictures
it's fascinating,
places where writers have lived.
Yeah.
So the house has to still exist, but the writer has to have passed on. Those are their criteria. I mean, died. Oh, okay. So those are their criteria. So you can actually walk around the city and see where writers have lived.
And all that can be found at splitthisrock.org, where you can find more details about the Split This Rock Poetry Festival starting tomorrow and going to Saturday. And that's the April 19th to the 21st, for those of us who think in terms of a calendar. Listeners, I remind you that you're listening to Community Watch and Comment, the Wednesday edition. I'm your host, David Whetstone. Our guest is Sarah Browning. Ms. Browning is the executive director and co-founder of Split This Rock. And the organization's name lends itself to a festival every 2 years. And this year happens to be the year. And they've been around for 10 years. This is their sixth festival. And the number of workshops, the number of workshops and public free events that are offered. The workshops aren't free, but the public speaking events are just outstanding. You have poets young and old, accomplished and new. And all this is under the theme of care and combating despair and affirming humanity. Ms. Brennan, before we go to our break, do you want to say a little bit more about this year's theme for the festival?
Absolutely. You know, we talk about the crisis that we're in at this moment in our history, and it is a severe crisis. But of course, for people of color, for low-income folks, for LGBT people, America is a constant crisis. And poetry can sustain us in our daily lives. It can give hope. It can imagine another world. And it can remind us, one another, of our common humanity, what we share in common. And so I invite everyone to the readings. There's a book fair on Saturday, which is free and open to the public. And then on Friday morning at 9 a.m., we are joining the National Student Walkout for calling for an end to gun violence. And everyone is invited to come and create a massive group poem called poem for our lives.
So that's Friday morning at 9 a.m.
at Lafayette Park, across from the White House. And you can come and just join us, or you can come and bring a line of poetry or a line that will help create a group poem, up to 12 words. And the poem will be created in the order in which we step up to the mic.
All right. So, folks, no doubt you've heard us talking about poetry. This is a land of plenty, yet to be discovered by some, but known by many. And if poetry's been important in your life, particularly your commitment to social justice and activism, we want to hear from you after the break. So here is the way to get in touch with us and call the studio. 202-588-0893. 202-588-0893. If you haven't called in the last 4 weeks, and you can keep referring to a minute to 2 minutes, you can get plenty said and done in that time. Call us here at 202-588-0893. Are you a poet? Do you practice the craft of poetry? And how possibly have you applied it to the cause of community and social justice? We'd like to hear from you. Again, join us after the break by calling the studio at 202-588-0893. We'll take a brief break, hear some public service announcements, and be right back.
Films, 45 countries, 11 days, one exciting film festival. WPFW is a proud media sponsor of the 32nd annual Washington, D.C. International Film Festival, taking place April 19th through the 29th, featuring timely new films from around the globe, including Cuba, Brazil, Trinidad and Tobago, and the Middle East. Washington, D.C.'s oldest and largest film festival has something for everyone. For more information, go to filmfestdc.org. WPFW at 89.3 FM and on the WPFW app is your station for jazz and justice.
Get ready, DMV. Millie Jackson is coming to the beautiful Bethesda Blues and Jazz Supper Club Sunday, May 6, 2018. Yes, the one and only Millie Jackson singing all of her hits. Ask Me What You Want, My Man or Sweet Man, Hurts So Good, If You're Not Back in Love by Monday, and many, many more. Also on the stage that night, one of the area's favorite blues groups, Full Power Blues. That's Millie Jackson and Full Power Blues, Sunday, May 6th, at the Bethesda Blues and Jazz Supper Club. The doors will open at 5:30 p.m. and showtime is 7:30. Tickets are $59, with premier seating that will include a meet and greet for $65. All tickets are on sale now at BethesdaBluesJazz.com. Bethesda Blues and Jazz Supper Club is located at 7719 Wisconsin Avenue in Bethesda, Maryland. Put this one on your calendar, because it's a show you don't want to miss. Millie Jackson, along with Full Power Blues, Sunday, May 6th, at the Bethesda Blues and Jazz Supper Club. WPFW 89.3 is proud to be the media sponsor for this event.
And welcome back to Community Watch and Comment, the Wednesday edition. I'm your host, David Whetstone. This and other shows, by the way, are available to you online at WPFWFM.org, but we are also available to you through podcast, whether the platform's iTunes, Google Play Music, or through WPFW's archive page. We thank you for tuning in, both through our terrestrial broadcast, but also through podcasts, and for supporting this station for your cause of jazz and justice for over 40 years. Again, this program and other programs like Democracy Now. I should say Africa Now. Shewanana and other great programs throughout the day, both public affairs and music, are available again by podcasts on iTunes, Google Play Music, and through WPFW's archive page. Listeners, joining us this morning is Sarah Browning. She's the executive director of Split This Rock. They have a festival starting tomorrow, going through Saturday. And it's just a supreme celebration of poetry in this month of poetry appreciation. People can still register as far as joining the workshops at reasonable fees, but also participate in the free events. And Ms. Branning, let's reiterate some of those things. Let's start with the book fair, where people can find small and medium press publishers of poetry. The book fair is when again?
The book fair is Saturday from 10 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. It's, again, at the National Housing Center at the corner of M and 15th Street Northwest.
Okay.
And also there are open mics on Thursday night, that's tomorrow, and Friday night at 10 p.m. to midnight at Busboys and Poets 5th and K, and that's those are $5 at the door.
Okay, and we can't mention prices.
Oh, sorry. Whoops. But those are reasonably priced at the door. And right. So folks are invited to come out and join us and speak your own piece.
And they're welcome to join us now if you're a practicing poet, if you stand for the cause of justice, for community, for common humanity, for the celebration of this good earth, you're welcome to call us at 202-588-0893. You know, Ms. Branning, I quickly went through just some of the poets and speakers. Why don't we take time to highlight that while we're waiting for people to call? I know that you have Paul Tran and Javier Zamora, and they have an anthology, Inheriting the War, or?
Well, those are both very young poets. And Paul Tran is a Vietnamese-American poet, as you can imagine from their name, genderqueer, came up through spoken word, and an extraordinary performer, also extraordinary on the page. It was recently in The New Yorker. This blows my mind that poets are moving now, these young poets, seamlessly from page to stage. I'd be happy to read their poem that's in the April issue of Poetry Magazine.
Sure, go right ahead.
For calls.
And he's speaking on Saturday night, Mr. Tran. And Javier Zamora is on Thursday night.
Yes.
And again, each night, those public readings that are free start at 7, and they're in the at 15th and M, the National Housing Center.
And actually, the Saturday night is 7:30.
Okay.
Just to confuse people. So, but of course, the whole schedule is online at splitthisrock.org. And Paul's poem is called Scientific Method. It's about that. You remember, many of us remember that.
From high school and college.
Right. Experiment where they put monkeys in a cage, and did the monkey go to the wire thing that was hanging, or the thing that was wrapped in a terry cloth blanket? And of course, the monkey went to the soft thing. And it's about affection and how we all need affection. Of course we do. And scientific method. Of course I chose the terry cloth surrogate, milkless artifice, false idol. Everyone, I'm told, has a mother. But Master bred me in a laboratory, his colony of orphans, rhesus macaque, macaca mulata, old world monkeys. My matriarchs ruled the grasslands and forests long before white men like him weaned their whiteness and maleness from our chromosomes, slashed and burned our home, what they once called the Orient, French Indochina, Vietnam. Master, like a good despot, besotted and dumbstruck, dying to discern the genesis of allegiance, the science of love and loss, nature versus nurture, segregated me at birth from my maker, pelt sopping with placental blood. In a chamber where he kept track of me, his pupils recorded my every movement, my every utterance, hoping I might evince to them a part of themselves. But I wasn't stupid. I knew famine and emaciation, and nevertheless, I picked that lifeless piece of shit because it was soft to hold. Who wouldn't want that? Though it couldn't hold me, I clung to the yellow-faced devil as though it was my true mother, and I grasped the function of motherhood, witness to my suffering, companion in hell. Unlike infants with wire mothers, I didn't hurl myself on the floor in terror or tantrum, rocking back and forth, colder than a corpse. I had what Master believed to be a psychological base of operations, emotional attachment, autonomy. Everything he denied and did to me, his ceaseless cruelty concealed as inquisition, unthinkable until it was thought, I endured by keeping for myself the wisdom he yearned to discover and take credit for. Love, like me, is a beast no master can maim, no dungeon can discipline. Love is at once master and dungeon. So don't underestimate me. Simple-minded and subservient as I might appear to be, I gather more about Master than he did about me, which, I guess, is a kind of fidelity conceived not from fondness, but fear magnified by fascination. Master made me his terry cloth surrogate, his red clawed god, nursing his id on my tits. And for that, I pitied him. All this time, he was the animal. All this time, he belonged to me.
Paul Tran, thank you. So, Paul Tran, Vietnamese American, Javier Zamora's from El Salvador, but you have other poets from so many other parts of the world. Ira Kaminsky from the Ukraine, Solmaz Sharif, an Iranian poet. And so there are all these different backgrounds. We do have a number of calls coming in.
Great.
We'll go to the caller first, and then I'll get back to the point. Mike, you've been patiently waiting. You're on the air. Go ahead, please.
Okay. How's everybody doing today?
Just fine. Thank you for calling.
All right. I have a poem for you, please. The title of the poem is Van Gogh and Those Others Alike. Are you a person whose talent has not been discovered? Is your talent appreciated by others? Is there work for talented people to find, enough to make a living of a decent kind? Will your gifts become just a hobby on a shelf? Will it be useful to anybody else? Has it been a waste of time trying to find your creative side? Do you know how many artists, musicians, dancers, actors, poets, writers, and the list goes on, trying to make a living using the gifts that are given? It's sad. Nowhere to be found. Oh yes, a few make it and succeed. But most of us are like falling leaves, blown by the winds of the world's greed. Instead, they put us in a box, locked and separated, nowhere to fit until we die. Then they ask, why? Why has no one discovered this talented one that had no fun trying to survive in a world where creativity is just a toy, not taken seriously anymore, played by the rich and forgotten by the poor? Thank you.
Mike, thank you so much.
Thank you, Mike.
I'm just curious about something. Are you involved with any groups of poets? Do you practice poetry with others?
I'm in the closet for right now.
Okay. Are you in the D.C. area, Mike?
Yes, I am.
Well, you know, we have a monthly reading series in open mic called Sunday Kind of Love. It's the third Sunday of every month. I hope you'll come out and read on the open mic. That would be fantastic.
And Sunday Kind of Love is where?
It's at Busboys and Poets, 14th and V, the third Sunday of every month at 5 o'clock.
All right. And Mike, thank you so much for your contribution here.
Thank you so much. Peace.
Thank you. It was beautiful.
RG, you've been waiting. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Hey, thank you, sir. Appreciate the opportunity to weigh in on your show today. That last poet was the bomb, very relevant. At any rate, to your guest, are you an instructor or professor?
No, I run Split This Rock full time.
Okay. Well, you know, I happened to coincidentally last night looking over some poetry technical elements or craft elements. And the PFW community, I'm sure, is familiar with the fact that we lost the great jazz giant Cecil Taylor.
Yeah.
And I wanted to ask you to give me an example. I wasn't able to actually find one or hear one. Sometimes you have those little audio files that will give you an example. At least I wasn't able to find one last night. Cecil's device many times was an anacrusis in his poetry. Could you give an example of that? Possibly, if you're familiar with that. Anacrusis.
Whoa, that is not a form I'm familiar with.
I'm not looking at the actual definition right now. It's the removal, I suppose, of a rhythm in a poem or a musical work, either from the beginning measure or the what they call the upbeat, I think, and then in poetry it would be the lead-in or skipped element. I guess it's probably related to iambic pentameter, but of course, I guess, you know, with free poetry, nobody adheres to that anymore, but just thought I might ask the question.
Ooh, that's impressive.
Thank you for the rigor, RG.
I don't write in form very much, so... Or at all, I should say. So I am the wrong person to ask that, but there's a whole new movement called the New Formalists.
Right. Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
And they are brilliant at it. And so I'm going to,
point us to that.
You could Google those folks.
The New Formalists.
But also there are fine jazz poets, who could answer this for us.
Yes. I just thought I would ask while, you know, it was in the program today because the host does such a great, great job every week, so I couldn't resist calling in.
Thank you.
I've been looking that up last night.
Thank you.
Well, RG, you provoked a couple of questions, so let me thank you for the call, and I'm going to...
Also, there is a new... work that folks are doing, which is called erasure, where they take...
I was just about to mention. Ooh, thank you. Go ahead.
Where they take existing texts, and sometimes they are oppressive texts, like some people have done freaky things with, like, 911 calls or traffic stops of Sandra Bland.
Are you talking about sampling?
Yeah, well, it's like sampling, and they've done erasure, but in written poetry, and have erased certain words, or, you know, the Declaration of Independence, or something like that, and created poems from what's left of the text, and that's a fascinating
thing.
That's
kind of close to anacrusis.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's a removal and then an inclusion of the end to give symmetry to the entire work.
You know? I'm going to write that down and look it up myself. Thank
okay.
you.
And again, RG,
well,
thanks.
It.
All right, take care.
All right.
RG's provoked a couple of things. I've got two questions for you while we're waiting on calls. Listeners, you can reach us at 202-588-0893. Time's running out. But if in any way you want to celebrate poetry, maybe we can get another call in. Poetry is often thought of as being captured to the academy, and here you have this grassroots movement, you know, really saluting, but also celebrating and engaging very important things.
Well, you know,
what's going on in D.C. that's unique to that? I have nothing against writers earning masters of fine arts, but is that the thing that's required, especially of poets?
Absolutely not. It's I think it's an outdated notion, really, that it's only in the academy, because I just saw there's a online there's a website called buttonpoetry.com, but that they're an organization, and I just saw them post that over 5 million people have watched their videos over the last couple of years. We've had one of our 2.2 million people have watched one of our DC Youth Slam Team videos over the last couple of years, and all of our events are sold out all the time. You know, people are hungry for poetry. It's the authentic language that we share with one another that is, you know, it's like a subterranean communication that cuts through the mass language, the mass marketing that is pushed on us so vigorously. And that's who we are. We're weird and idiosyncratic beings, and that will always prevail.
Henry, is this Henry or Henry? You're on the air. Yeah, if you could turn your radio down, please, and go ahead with your question or comment.
I wanted to make sure that I wasn't being redundant in my comment, because I had it actually turned off for a bit. You were talking about, or somebody had called up about sampling, which got me to thinking the method that I think it goes back even to the Dada movement, Tristan Zara, but I know that William Burroughs and a guy named Brian Geisen made use of a method of folding text and a recontextualizing, which is very similar to what, for example, DJs do when they take like two or three vinyl discs and blend them. So they're recontextualizing the already pre-existing material into something totally different.
Well, you know, that brings us to the group poem we're going to be creating on Friday morning. You can bring a line by someone else or your own that speaks for life free from violence and the threat of gun violence. And so everyone is invited to do that, and we'll create this gorgeous group tapestry. We call it a cento. That's 100 lines, but it could be 1,000 lines. It depends on who shows up.
I'm familiar with that.
I
participated in one just a couple of months ago.
Fantastic.
It's a wonderful thing. I mean, we actually did it online. It was between Europe and America, and it was basically Europe and this country, and I was one of two people from Virginia that participated
in
it.
That's fantastic. Well, come on out if you can on Friday morning, and all the listeners can, and I think we have to sign off now. Our time is up.
are running out of time.
We're running out of time.
But thank you.
So thanks for calling, and I'm inviting everyone to come Friday morning at 9 o'clock. Louder Than a Gun, a group poem for our lives. Bring a line up to 12 words to join the incredible youth who are speaking out against this epidemic of gun violence that is terrorizing us. And all, you know, no war, no guns. Time to stop death. Death is going to come. Why hasten it? That's what I'm thinking. That's what I've been saying. You know, time to speak out. Enough is enough.
Poetry is in each of us.
It is in each of us. Yes. Poetry, like bread, as Roque Dalton said, is for everyone.
Sarah Browning, I have to thank you. Our time has elapsed. But again, Ms. Browning's the executive director of Split This Rock. And by the same name, Split This Rock Poetry Festival starts tomorrow, goes to Saturday. There's some free public readings by various poets, young and old, new and accomplished. Folks, you don't want to miss the celebration of poetry. SplitThisRock.org. Coming up at 1, Africa Now. It's going to focus on Pan-Africanism in D.C. during the era of Black Power. And it's going to also look at new African world films that are in the area, covering various topics like police brutality, race, class, and culture. That's at 1 o'clock with Louisa Mutale. At noon, don't forget The Blues, the edition that bears Sarah Butler Truesdale's work. She puts her heart and soul into that. That's coming up next. Immediately after our sign-off, the news, as it is always presented 5 minutes before the hour by our news director, Askia Muhammad. My thanks to the News and Public Affairs Departments of WPFW, Jamil Ahmadi, our administrator, and Mike Nasella, our engineer. Enjoy life, enjoy poetry, and hopefully we'll join you again next week. Thanks.
Lawyers for Justice, Attorney Malik Shabazz, Dr. Cornell West, Ilyasa Shabazz, the daughter of Malcolm X, Dr. Boyce Watkins, Professor Griff, the Honorable Silas Muhammad, and 100 scholars and groups convene Wednesday, April 18th through Sunday, April 22nd at the National Black Men's Convention to be held at Shiloh Baptist Church, 1500 9th Street, Northwest. If you can't make the entire conference on Saturday, April 21st at noon, 10,000 black men will rally at the White House against police violence and racism. It's a family affair, so bring your husbands and your sons. To register at Eventbrite, look for National Black Men's Convention or visit blackmensconvention.org. WPFW is your station for jazz and justice.
Get ready, DMV. Millie Jackson is coming to the beautiful Bethesda Blues and Jazz Supper Club Sunday, May 6, 2018. Yes, the one and only Millie Jackson singing all of her hits. Ask Me What You Want, My Man or Sweet Man, Hurts So Good, If You're Not Back in Love by Monday, and many, many more. Also on the stage that night, one of the area's favorite blues groups, Full Power Blues. That's Millie Jackson and Full Power Blues Sunday, May 6th, at the Bethesda Blues and Jazz Supper Club. The doors will open at 5:30 p.m. and showtime is 7:30. Tickets are $59 with premiere seating that will include a meet and greet for $65. All tickets are on sale now at BethesdaBluesJazz.com. Bethesda Blues and Jazz Supper Club is located at 7719 Wisconsin Avenue in Bethesda, Maryland. Put this one on your calendar because it's a show you don't want to miss. Millie Jackson, along with Full Power Blues, Sunday, May 6th, at the Bethesda Blues and Jazz Supper Club. WPFW 89.3 is proud to be the media sponsor for this event.
80 films, 45 countries, 11 days, one exciting film festival. WPFW is a proud media sponsor of the 32nd annual Washington, D.C. International Film Festival, taking place April 19th through the 29th, featuring timely new films from around the globe, including Cuba, Brazil, Trinidad and Tobago, and the Middle East. Washington, D.C.'s oldest and largest film festival has something for everyone. For more information, go to filmfestdc.org. WPFW at 89.3 FM and on the WPFW app is your station for jazz and justice.